This is West Kent Today with me, John Butt, and been joined by Phil Thorne from Healthwatch Kent. Good morning to you, Phil.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I am fair to middling.
Fair to middling.
That's halfway, you see, because it's either fair to suicidal or fair to homicidal. So fair to middling is pretty good.
Okay, so I'm safe for the next hour, then.
Yeah, definitely the next hour. So okay. What are you bringing us today?
Let's talk about men's mental health today. We'll talk about the cost of living crisis, because, of course, you can't hear enough of that at the moment. And the fact that it was World Diabetes Day last Monday. But I want to talk a bit about paramedics. Now, paramedics are kind of, well, it's difficult to say anything other than that they've been given a bit of a hard rap because of the issues with ambulances getting to people on time. But actually, and whilst we know that things like that are kind of beyond the actual individual medic's control, they have circumstances they need to work within, and obviously delays come because that's where they're sent through from their control points. That's not what we're trying to find out. We want to hear from as many different people across Kent as possible about individual people's experiences with a paramedic. So if you've had cause to use an ambulance, and whether it's then taking you to Pembury Hospital or over to Maidstone, or whether it's actually treated you at home or somewhere else. We want to know about your experiences. You know, what has worked through for you? Have they shown you care and compassion at the time? What worked well? What could have worked better? Anything specific you want to say about the individual experience that you had? We always want to hear from as many different people as we can right across the area, but particularly looking to hear from people in the West Kent radio area about their experiences with paramedics. Obviously, we can talk to people about kind of the issues if they've had particular circumstances with delays because of ambulances and it's had a knock-on effect. But actually, what we're after here is more of the experience of the member of staff that turns up and treats you, the paramedic. How were they? What was your experience of working with them? Have you had that experience yourself?
I have indeed. It was during the second lockdown.
Right, okay.
I had received my COVID test kit through the post.
Yeah.
I did it all.
Yeah.
Went down to the post box, posted it, and when I got back, I was so out of breath, not feeling too good.
Right.
So I rang 111.
Okay. Paramedic was sent out to you?
Well, 111, they then put me through to 999.
Right,
yeah. And then the ambulance and paramedics came out within 20 minutes.
See, that was very good. So
it was very good. They were up their end of town, and they came down, and they sorted out... with the doctor getting some antibiotics. It turned out to be a bad chest infection.
Right.
But all the symptoms of COVID. And
oh, wow.
They said, did I want to go to hospital? Well.
Second lockdown, so we're talking back end of 2020 for this, aren't we? Is that because the first lockdown was kind of like from the March through until the summer.
Yeah.
And then they brought it back in just before Christmas. Didn't they, in 2020. So we're talking back then. So there was only a 20-minute delay for the paramedic to actually get to you, yeah? So when you phoned 111, did they go through the list of questions that they normally go through? And when they said, we're going to get 999, you know, put you through to 999, how did that make you feel at that specific time, was it?
I thought, well, something is happening. This
right.
This is obviously worse than I thought it was.
Okay.
And fortunately... my daughter is a nurse, had sent me an oximeter.
Okay.
And so I was monitored by the COVID ward for the next 2 weeks.
Is this kind of what percentage of oxygen is in your...
In your blood.
Yeah. See, I've got something like that on my smartwatch, actually, where I can just literally press the button and it tells me how much is in. It should come up in a second and tell me what mine is. This is good radio, this actually. Me showing you my digital watch. We're watching my digital
time
watch.
Is passing
96%.
So that's pretty good.
It's pretty good. If it drops below 90, though, I think you're in a bit of trouble.
Yeah, so. And monitored my blood pressure and things like that. And they used to ring up every day for the readings.
Right.
And ask how I was. And the staff were brilliant.
Yeah.
And when I got COVID, it wasn't as bad as a chest infection.
Absolutely. So the other people's experiences, it might, you know, so much of the last sort of, I'm going to say, I've been saying 2.5 years for so long, but it's coming up for nearly three, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once we get to March, it'll be 3 years. So coming up for the best part of 3 years now, a lot of people's experiences are all based around COVID. But there are a number of other issues that have people, you know, older persons can have falls. How delayed is the ambulance getting to you? What we're on about here is actually talking about when they get to you, what is your relationship with them then at that point? Do they look after you? Are they very formulaic in their approach? Are they kind of like, just get the job done and get out the door? Or actually, do they use the infamous bedside manner, you know, when they're treating you? The reason being is that we've been asked to do some research into the people who train paramedics to go out. So we want to find out exactly what works and what doesn't.
If you want to contact us here at the studio for the next hour, it's studio at West Kent. This is West Kent Today with me, John Butt, and Phil Thorne from Healthwatch Kent. We've been talking about paramedics, and we'd like to hear your news and experiences of them. How did they treat you? How long did you have to wait for someone to come and see you? Were they nice? I have to say that I had a very pretty young lady come to see me.
I think it's more, for me, what we mentioned earlier on, excuse me, about the delays, and there's nothing we can specifically do about it. I think what that does do is does affect people's experiences with paramedics, because, you know, you were very lucky. There's no denying that.
No.
The fact that you had a paramedic with you within 20 minutes is very good. And yet we hear stories all the time about people who've, you know, older people who've had falls and are having to wait maybe 12 hours because there are more pressing engagements than them.
Or they're stuck in the hospital waiting for the hospital to take over.
And that's the thing, they can't, you know, physically, they can't leave people there, so the ambulance crews are resigned to sitting with people, which means they can't go out and do more. So there are delays. And whilst we're more interested in here about how the paramedic was when they actually treated you, and, you know, what worked and what didn't, that delay is going to have that effect, because obviously, you know, if you or your family member is in a situation where they've been waiting 12 hours, maybe their condition worsened. Maybe, and I'm saying maybe here, I'm 99% sure that people's mood and sense of humour will have worsened slightly if you've been waiting for an ambulance for 12 hours. But it is just about the experience. Did they treat you well? Did they look after you? What could you do to improve the system? What would you do in the way that they treated you to make you feel better? Now, last Monday, won't go too much into this because it has passed, but last Monday was World Diabetes Day. And diabetes is something that we've spoken about before. There are a number of different support organisations that can help you out with that. But particularly if you're kind of, you've just been diagnosed as pre-diabetic, which means you've kind of got to watch things a bit closer, because you could become a type 2 diabetic in the future. There has been more of an emphasis on telling people that they are pre-diabetic over the last couple of years or so. I myself at the moment have been diagnosed as pre-diabetic. So it is a case of just going through sort of like, there are various checks you can do, and you can self-refer yourself onto a diabetic, pre-diabetic course, which the National Health Service runs to actually help people kind of make those lifestyle changes before it turns into full-on type 2 diabetes. But there's lots of stuff on our website, healthwatchkent.co.uk website, about World Diabetes Day, and indeed support for diabetics in general. So if you get a chance, have a look at that as well.
It's very useful because I'm type 2.
Yeah.
And keeping an eye on the lifestyle. You know, I only have one wine gum a minute.
Right, okay.
In the morning.
Well, I've noticed you're holding them back. I haven't been given one yet, and I've been here 20 minutes.
Well,
we'll do that in the next break.
Next break, yeah.
I'm kidding. But right. Something we're not kidding about at the moment, because, well, I mean, it's all over the news, and we'll talk about this, I'm sure, quite a lot in the sort of the time we've got together this morning, is about the cost of living crisis. And I'm actually, we at Healthwatch Kent are actually really keen to find out, is it actually affecting how you sleep at night? Has it gotten to that stage where it's, you know, you're losing sleep over it? How are you getting through that situation, because that, you know, not getting enough sleep does affect your health. You know, your body doesn't recover fully and it doesn't move forward, and, you know, it could affect you the next day if you feel tired, etc. And then you find yourself drinking more cups of coffee or drinking those energy drink things that people love so much, to actually kind of get through the day. But also just, you know, how is it your state of mind? How is your sleep? We want to hear from you in the West Kent radio area if, you know, you are losing sleep over the cost of living crisis. There are obviously another of effects, you know, that we can talk about further. But if that is having an effect on you, we can potentially support you with some organisations that can help you with that. You know, all you need to do is give us a call, 0808 801 0102. That's 0808 801 0102. Or you can go to our website, which is healthwatchkent.co.uk. If you Google Healthwatch Kent, we are there and you'll find out all about us. Or you can email us directly, info@healthwatchkent.co.uk.
Great. Talking about sleepless nights and things like that, it not only affects you physically, it does affect mentally, and you're going to talk about Ben's mental health day.
Absolutely,
as well.
We're going there as well later on.
Yeah, so good link there. Well done.
Well done.
You can get the job.
Thank you.
How about the Bee Gees?
Like them.
Secret Love.
Hmm.
You're listening to West Kent Today, 95.5, 106.7 FM, online, on your smart speaker. And with me this morning is Phil Thorne from Healthwatch Kent, and we're talking about the financial crisis and effect on sleep and everything else.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, I quite like that. For a Harry Styles record, I quite like it, to be honest. It's not my usual thing, but I quite like that. Mm. It's very, very late 80s sounding, that one.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm only in my mid-60s.
Very good. Very good. Thank you for the fruit gum, by the way. Yes, so we were talking about sort of the fact that, you know, it's having people are worrying more, and it does have an effect on people's sleeping patterns. It's also, people are finding themselves skipping meals, not only because loss of appetite, you know, with the stress and worry, but actually because it's saving them money. So are you finding yourself having to skip meals? You know, there's a phrase that was kind of doing the buzzwords a little while ago, and it was a bit media-led. Are you choosing between heating and eating? Whilst that's not been proven to be too much of an issue so far, what we have kind of learned is that people are skipping meals because, you know, and indeed particularly parents are skipping meals in order to make sure that the children are fed. And obviously there's an increased use in food banks and everything like that coming up in a moment. And you know, are you getting the support you need with that? Are you being able to kind of find, you know, are you just kind of struggling manfully or womanfully on and not actually kind of going for help because, you know, you've been kind of, it's the way you are. You just want to, you know, there is support out there for you. So please get in contact with Healthwatch. I know it's got health in the title and it's not specifically always about that. We can help you find the right sort of like source and help to support you. So
it all goes to being healthy.
Absolutely. Yeah. Healthy of mind as well, and we'll talk about that a bit more in a bit. So yeah, in terms of people skipping meals and just the increased cost of living in general, you know, things are going up. Energy costs, we've spoken about that even just this morning, you know, here in the studio a little while ago, about the cost of, you know, heating going up, and the costs of you know, electricity for other things. It's not just heating related, but the cost of electricity for other things.
Yeah, next time you're coming in, you're going to wear a thick jumper.
I am. Right? I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Here it is in shirt sleeves, and it's freezing in here.
The bizarre thing is, and you'll recall this, is remember when I came in, I think it was July, I came in, and literally I was, you had to pass me a towel because I was, it was when it was really hot.
Yeah.
In fact, I was here when we had that 40-odd degree day back in the summer. And this morning, yeah, I've got goosebumps here this morning. But
and in Fahrenheit, it was only 5 degrees above freezing as I came out this morning.
Yeah, okay.
In centigrade, I've got no idea because I was brought up proper.
So what was it, 37 this morning or 37? So that would be probably about 3 or 4 degrees Celsius. So yeah. Not warm.
No.
Not warm. Not warm in the slightest.
Not even seasonal.
No. No, it's weird because, like, we're not going to get all Ian McCaskill on the listeners here this morning, but or Michael Fish, because we'll say, don't worry, it's not going to be here for very long. It is. We're now in the winter months, aren't we?
Yeah.
And, of course, people are more inclined to turn the heating on. Although you said, you know, no, not doing that yet. And myself and my wife at home, you know, we're sitting there, we've got ourselves hot water bottles now, you know, and we're putting the jumpers on and things like that. And it is a worry for people that, you know, how are they going to pay for their heating? Mm. So, you know, if you are finding that just the cost of everything are getting a bit too much for us, do let us know at Healthwatch, because we can potentially signpost you the right way to get sort of more help to go through things. So please, 0808 801 0102 is the phone number. Phone number is manned Monday to Friday, 10 till 4. Or you can drop us an email, info@healthwatchkent.co.uk. Or you can check us out on the internet with healthwatchkent.co.uk is our website. There is actually an address if you want to write to us as well. I haven't got the free post details for that to hand, but I'll ping them over to John, and then John can read them out, or we can do them next time when I'm in, because I'm in literally the Monday before Christmas.
And that's going to be a Monday special, aren't we? We're going to have something seasonal for that.
I don't know whether we've got seasonal, so I might bring in a couple of mince pies for
that
you.
That sounds good to
yeah?
me.
Yeah. All right. Let me just write that down.
Mince pies.
Mince pies in December. Okay. Yeah. All right. Cool.
There's not many perks in this job.
Oh, well, yeah. I'll get us a coffee, half the week, big coffees next time round. So, A, so we can drink them, and B, so we can keep our hands warm. But yeah, so the increased cost of living, anything along those lines, you know, anything that you might be struggling with, and indeed anything, I mean, we've got one more topic to kind of talk about in a little while, but anything, any experiences that you're having with issues with health and social care at the moment, please do let us know. And also, if your experiences are good, now I say this every time I come in, we need to hear from more experiences that are good, and we do. You know, I came out and spoke at an event recently in Tunbridge, not too long ago, and actually, when we were talking to people there on the day, the 50% of the people there were saying, actually, everything's working fine. Everything's working fine. I get to see my GP. I get to see the same GP. I get a phone back. So there are pockets where things are working and there are pockets where things aren't.
Yeah.
And the more we know about these areas that are working, we can then feed that back into the system, because the nature of what Healthwatch does is, A, we can signpost members of the public the right direction to get help, but we also have those links with the people who make the decisions in the NHS. So whether it be the service provider, whether it be people like the ICB, Integrated Care Board, your local authorities, so your Kent County Council, your local sort of like town authorities as well, town councils as well. We have those kind of links in place. And with the Care Quality Commission, we can feed that back so that all areas are aware, this is what's working in this particular area. These are the trends where things aren't working, and we feed that back. So it isn't just a case of you telling us your story and we telling you how to get help. We'll actually let the people who make all the decisions know what's going on.
Great. Right, we're going to come back to mental health after we've had... Right, mental health.
So I've just realised I've got the squeaky chair. Apologies there. I just really squeaky that chair. Yes, so men's mental health. So how's your attempt at Movember going on? Are you not bothering, or...?
You have to explain what is Movember.
Movember. So Movember is something that they do every November, and it's basically just growing a moustache for the month of November to raise money for various charities.
Now, I'm not involved in that because I shave every... Most days, but not today.
Funny enough, this doesn't work well on radio, but I have different levels of beard growth depending on when I'm coming in to see you, John. But actually, I haven't shaved this bit for over the weekend, so yeah, it's looking a bit rough and ready this morning. And I don't partake in Movember just simply because I have different sort of levels of facial hair around. But I know there are. It doesn't live in this part of the country, so I can talk about him not by name, but I will say that he. He grows a moustache every November because it helps him focus, and the support that he gets from friends and family is very, very welcome for that, and it gives him some focus. And he tells people that he openly tells people that that's why he does it, to kind of get that support from people. But the rest of the year he kind of struggles a little bit. And it's becoming more and more apparent that, again, whilst there is more promotion in going into men's mental health, that the stigma is still there, that a lot of chaps just don't want to talk about it. They're not seen to be, you know, it's not seen to be the done thing to do. But there are enough support groups, and there's a format of group, and I don't know whether there's one exists in the West Kent radio area, so forgive me if there is one and I don't mention it. But the format these days seems to be men's sheds.
Yeah.
Where, you know, groups go together and work together on little projects, and they have these conversations, and it kind of it promotes that group dynamic where blokes can freely be open about how they're feeling. You know, with the cost of living crisis at the moment, there's obviously going to be a lot of, you know, stigma, maybe unnecessary stigma, but stigma attached to the fact that, you know, men have got to be doing this burning, et cetera, et cetera. And it's just about getting that message out there as often and as long as we can, that it's okay for men to suffer with mental health issues, and it's okay for them to talk about it. So, you know, we want to kind of put a peel out there. Well, I would say, you know, from my time working on the telephones, I would say the vast majority of the calls that I get are women calling us about particular issues. So men certainly don't talk about their health in general, and I think that is something that, again, has been known for many, many years. Men don't go to the doctor. You know, men don't go and speak to the doctor. They wait until their leg's dropping off before they even, you know, consider going to the doctor, that sort of thing. But particularly mental health issues, it's not something that's been kind of talked about. And the message to put out there is that there is an option for you to get out there and have a conversation with someone. And yes, it's about finding what actually makes you feel comfortable enough to have that discussion. But there are options out there. And of course, if you don't actually ask, you won't know.
Yeah.
So do feel free, gentlemen, to give us a call at Health Watch Kent. And it could be me, it could be one of my colleagues, that basically says, okay, whereabouts are you? What's the situation? What do you feel you need help with? And we can potentially signpost you the right way to get that help, to have those conversations with people, to actually, you know, just share it. I mean, when they're not necessarily going to be help resolve the situations, but a problem shared is a problem halved. You know, I know that's a kind of very traditional phrase, but it is. If you talk about it to someone, you know, there is that, you know, it just kind of that little bit of weight goes off. So yeah, please do, gents, talk about it.
And talking about it and with others, you realise you're not alone.
Absolutely, yeah.
And that's where the shed idea comes in, quite useful now. Mm. I've had mental health issues in the past, and I can see the signs if I'm getting, you know, getting towards depression or anything like that.
Yeah.
I certainly don't want to go back onto antidepressants.
I think it's a very difficult, if it's a very difficult subject to kind of be completely open and honest about in any circumstances, because it's a very individual feeling. Everyone feels very individual about it. But the key is, and you seem to have got this from what you've said there, it's the key of noticing when it's happening.
Yeah.
And then remembering what you did last time to make it better and repeating that.
Mm.
You know, so there is a case of, right, I'm spotting the signs, this is not good, my mood's not good, I feel lethargic, I feel angry all the time. What did I do to change it last time?
Exactly. I get short-tempered, and I get angry with things, not with people.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm dyspraxic as well, so I put a pen on the table, it's going to roll off, it's even if I put it down.
Things are just going to happen, yeah, absolutely. So I'll finish this subject on something, road rage, okay?
I suffer from that.
And I'm going to use the word plonker here, if I may, okay? Because, you know, I can't really swear anything else. Plonker's about as, you know, it's about as big a word as I can use. But you're coming up to certain roads and stuff like that, and it's, you find yourself, "Oh, you plonker," to the person, "Oh, you plonker," to someone else, right? If everyone is being like it, there's a fair chance that it's not them. That's the plonker. So it's about kind of getting that, pulling that to grips and realizing when you're getting into that stage that maybe you need help. And if you've not been here before, then maybe then is the time to contact us and go, "Do you know what? Okay, Health Watch, where can you, you know, here are my circumstances. Where can we signpost you to?"
Yeah. Right, we're getting towards the end of our hour with Phil Thorne with Health Watch. We'll do a bit of a recap and...
Well, I wanted to say one thing, actually, and I want to say a big hello to the Friends Together group in Tunbridge, who invited me down, courtesy of an invitation that you put in place to start with, thank you, John, to go and talk to them at their venue in Tunbridge. I'd say it's a couple of weeks ago now. I think it might be two, maybe 3 weeks. I think it's 3 weeks ago.
Possibly. I can't remember.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah. I know you were there, actually. You made sure I got a cup of coffee, which was fabulous. Thank you. And we spoke to a number of people there about their sort of like, you know, how have they been over the last couple of years, what their big cases are and what's kind of like what their individual circumstances are, what's working, what's not. In fact, I mentioned earlier about the fact that 50% of people, you know, saying that everything's fine with GPs at the moment. Yes, there's a bit of a delay here and there, but nothing specific. And 50% of people weren't very happy with what was going on. And it was really good to sit and talk to them. So I want to thank them for letting me take over their time that morning. And a big thank you to Stephanie as well, the organiser of the event, who kind of came back to me afterwards and said, they really enjoyed that. Do you fancy coming and talking to some of our other groups? So don't be surprised if I don't pop up at your Friends Together group in Tunbridge Wells or Hadlow or anywhere like that over the next coming few weeks.
I've got Pembrey and Paddockwood as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, if any of those groups, I'll be getting back to Stephanie and say we'll get some dates in the diary to come out and talk to some people there. But, yeah, the time, how long have I got to quickly recap now?
You've got under 2 minutes.
Under 2 minutes. Okay, so we spoke about paramedics earlier on, your experiences as individuals of paramedics. Not necessarily the delays with ambulances, but more along the lines of, you know, how were the paramedics when they got to talk to you? How did they treat you? Did they treat you well? Were they kind and considerate? Was it just kind of a very routine, they came to see you, off they went straight away? How were they with you? We want to hear about your experiences, please. Well, Diabetes Day last Monday. If you're struggling, having just been diagnosed as diabetic, there's plenty of support out there for you. If you've been told you're pre-diabetic, what does that actually mean? How do you get the support for that? Again, you can contact Health Watch for that. Are you losing sleep because of the cost of living crisis? Are you skipping meals as a result? Are the increased costs kind of affecting your health? Please do get in contact with us at Health Watch. And indeed, for chaps, if you are struggling a bit with your mental health at the moment. It was International Men's Day on Saturday, by the way, but men's mental health is very, very, very important to Health Watch, and indeed to myself in general. So if you have any particular issues, then please do contact Health Watch. Contact details, how long have I got?
30 seconds.
Right. Telephone 0808 801 0102. That's 0808 801 0102. You can drop us an email, info@healthwatchkent.co.uk. You can go to our website, which is www.healthwatchkent.co.uk, or you can just Google Health Watch Kent and find out all the details there.
Well done. Thank you very much, Phil. And we're going to be seeing you again next month.
19th of December.
Before Christmas.
With mince pies and probably hot chocolate.
That sounds even better.
Good.
I'd